الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Good morning. It's time for Understanding Islam, brought to you by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, all praise and all thanks are due to Almighty God, the Lord and the Creator of the heavens and the earth. I bear witness that there is only one God, one Creator to worship, and that is the one whom no one has ever seen. He's the Creator of night and day, of the heavens and the earth, and it is only due to Him that we praise. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, that he is the final messenger of God, and that he is the seal of all the prophets. And by that, we believe in all of the prophets of Almighty God, from Adam all the way down to Prophet Muhammad. May peace and blessing of Almighty God be upon all of them. So I begin today giving all praise to Almighty God, saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise be to God, the Lord of all the worlds. We seek his forgiveness, we seek his mercy, and we seek refuge in God from the devil who is cursed. And we ask that Almighty God keep us on a path that is straight, a path of justice, a path of faith. We ask that Almighty God protect us from anything that is deviant. We ask that Almighty God protect us from evil and those who practice evil. So we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise and all thanks are due to God and God alone. And I greet the believing audience today with the greetings of peace. And this is the greeting that we hope to receive on the day of resurrection, the life after this life. We hope that when we meet our Lord, the one who we praise and seek his forgiveness and mercy, we pray that he greet us with this beautiful greeting that we greet each other with every day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May the peace and mercy of Almighty God be upon you. So I begin today with that praise, giving Almighty God the thanks that he is deserving. Before I begin, I want to make just a few announcements here. Our class is still going in reference to our Quran class every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Excuse me. And the doors are open for anyone who would like to attend. Had a beautiful class last week, and glad to see some of the new converts coming out and listening to some of the discussion and the explanation of the verses of the Quran. That's what it's all about. We have to stay within the Quran and the Sunnah, or the example, life example of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. Also, our Friday service is every Friday at 1:45 p.m. at 1410 Cemetery Avenue, 1410 Cemetery Avenue. And if anyone need any books, CDs, or anything from us, you know it's 100% free. You just need to text me, 706-459-1010, or you can visit our website. Beautiful website we have, new website. It is uidf.org. You can go on there and listen to many of these programs that we do on Sunday. You can listen to our Friday service, first services. It's on there. And right now we're working on almost 95% there of putting all of our services, our Jumu'ah services, on YouTube. So you can go on YouTube Live, and listen to our Friday services and some of the other events that we have at our facility. So many things are going on right now. Community is very active. I do want to just give an update in reference to what I spoke about last week, about our community going in front of the beer board, which we did. We went in front of the beer board last week, and we presented our case to them. And I wanted to first start off just thanking all of the people who came out in support of that. We had a nice crowd that came out. And surprisingly, we had people we didn't even know that came out, I mean, to the hearing. And they spoke. They got up to the podium or to the microphone, and they spoke about the bar down on Cemetery Avenue that's causing a headache for everyone, have destroyed really that community there. If you listen to the news, especially Channel 3 News, there's a lot of incidents on there in reference to what is going on with this bar down there in the community. So you saw African Americans, you saw Caucasian people, you saw many a mixture of people that came forth last week at the Beer Boy meeting, and they expressed their concerns about this bar. Now, unfortunately, it was surprising me that I just didn't know how weak the Beer Board is in reference to taking any action upon things. Just a few things. I don't want to take up the whole program here, but I do just want to kind of give an update on what many people talk about and what we brought to the board. You have 9 members there. And basically what I did, I had an open record from the Chattanooga Police Department where we filled out an application to get how many police reports and response have been to this bar. And they gave it to us. We had to pay for it, but we received it. And since September the 22nd, 2025, to September 22nd, now September the 22nd, 2023, until September 22nd, 2025, this year, there have been over 511 police reports or response to that location. That's unbelievable. 511 police reports and response to that location. And they consist of everything. I mean, assault, dealing with weapons, loitering, intoxication, spiking drinks, weapons, large crowds. There are over 89 complaints just of loud noise. Complaints of loud noise, crowds gathering in the street, 89 of those complaints. And just this year, January 2025 until October of this year. And there's been some and more calls since then, but the report is showing from January 2025 to October 2025, there's been over 210 calls to that location. Imagine that. One location, 210 calls where the police have had to come out, take reports, arrest people, people overdosing, all of these things in 10 months period. And that's what I asked the board. I asked them, I said, how can it be when you have a regulatory unit that works with the Beer Board? The regulatory unit, their responsibility is to go out and cite these businesses that are violating the laws of their permit. That's their job. You have a police officer there, which he was there. That's his job, to go out and cite those people, write tickets, bring them in front of the Beer Board, who has violated the rules of the city allowing them to have a permit. 200 and at least 210 police reports there of complaints in that at that bar. I asked them, why no ticket have been given to these people? And the chairman basically told us, all of us, that he didn't know. He didn't know. And we had many people that came up and expressed their concern about many things. This is just one of many things that people came up. People we didn't even know came to the mic and told about their issues. And everybody agreed that the only thing that has not happened at that bar so far, and that is a homicide. You know, they had a drive-by shooting just last month. They did a narcotic sting there on the 17th of October, where the kitchen manager is selling cocaine out of the kitchen there. 2 people outside, they're arrested. Just all kind of wicked stuff going on there. And the city's not doing anything about it. The city's not doing anything about it. I mean, the Beer Board, that's what they're there for. They have a police officer. They have a regulatory unit there to enforce the laws of those permits, and they have done nothing about it. So it stinks. You know, everybody says it, not just us, that somebody knows somebody. Somebody's advocating for them. So basically, after about 2-hour meeting there, they basically just told us that once they are cited, they did make a motion to send the police out to the bar and see what's going on. And like one board member, she held up the report. I gave each one of the board members there a 17-page report of all of the calls police response to that location within the last 3 years. And when the chairman or someone else on the board motioned that the police should go out and see what's going on at the bar, this one lady held up the report I gave and said, "We don't have to see. We see what's going on from this report right here." So anyway, they said their hands was tired. They're tired. Their heart basically breaks for us. And they gave us all of the cliches that that someone that is ineffective, that is going to, when they don't want to do anything, this is the way they more or less want to pacify you, to make you feel like we feel for you. We have empathy for you, but there's nothing we can do. And with that, it's not true, because that's what they've been voted in for. That's supposed to be their responsibility and their job, but it's just total incompetence. So what we're doing next, our next move is this coming Tuesday, the 11th. We're going in front of the city council, and this is at 3:30 p.m. We're going to also be able to speak in the open discussion period there. And this is city council meeting, and we're still advocating and telling the community, the people who live in that area especially, and these people, some of these people who spoke didn't live directly in that community, but they lived in the surrounding areas that was also impacted by the traffic and the noise and all of the drunkenness there. They spoke. So we're hoping that these people will come out again. City council meeting, this is 11-11-25 at 3:30 p.m. And we plan to speak in an open discussion to the city council to see what they can do in order to give the community some type of relief. What we want the place to be shut down. We want their license revoked. They don't deserve license. They violated every law on the book for a person to have a beer permit. 210 calls, police reports, accidents, incidents in a 10-month period, 511 reports of incidents and assaults and report intoxication and fights. And 2.5 years, that's unbelievable. Most people say, you know, it's a cover-up. Somebody knows somebody, and somebody's advocating for that place to be there. We know our facility is a nonprofit organization. Nobody's making any money from us being there, but the city is making a lot of money from the bar being there. It's a cash cow for Hamilton County right now. They make a lot of money because you have a lot of students, UTC students. You have many people coming in that area, which have really totally destroyed the area and made it more of an entertaining type of chaos environment, where you have screaming, drunkenness, nakedness, nudity, drugs, all of that stuff exists there. And the city knows about it because it's all in the news. If you go on Channel 3 website right now and just put in Shady's Corner, it'll bring up all of the incidents that they have seen on TV. Many of you probably have already witnessed some of these things on TV. I mean, but it's in the open. So this is our next move, is to go to the city council, because we're not going to give up. I mean, you can't give up. You have to keep striving for what you're trying to achieve. And this is kind of what my talk is going to be about today, is that our responsibility is to strive against injustice, to make the effort against injustice. The result of our striving is not in our hands. It's in God's hands. God doesn't ask us to produce results. He asked us to strive toward wrongdoing, or to strive what you're trying to achieve in life. And once you strive and make an effort in trying to achieve your goal, or you're striving against injustice, or whatever you're striving in, the results is in His hand, whether you're going to be successful or not. But really, in actuality, the success is in the striving. You see, you can't lay down and just give up. You got to keep striving. You have to keep working toward trying to eliminate a wrong. And you have to, and that's in every aspect of your life. If you want something, you have to work for it. And you got to keep striving toward it again and again and again and again, and never give up, because the results is in God's hand. And when He decides that he's want to, that he will open the door for you to gain your, the goal you're trying to achieve or accomplish. And it's in his hands when this place will be removed, revoked in some way. All of that is in his hands. But our responsibility is, our job is to keep striving against them. Don't give up. Don't give up. Never give up, but keep striving. So the next event that we're doing is to go to the city council and discuss this problem on the 11th of November at 3:30 p.m. And I hope you will turn out like you did last time to let the city know that, you know, everybody's not asleep. Our community is awake and the people around in that area is awake. And you know what? Really, you don't even have to be in the area, because if you see a type of injustice that's going on right now, everybody, I think, if you have that type of concern, community concern, is to come out and support. And so we don't know the result. Only God knows the result of this next meeting we're going to. But after this one, we have something else planned that we're going to do. If this don't work out the way we want, then there's something else that we're going to move forward on. So we always in our faith say that God always is the judge. Makaru wa makarullah. They plan and God plans. Wallahu khayrun makarin. And God is the best of those that plan. They plan and we plan. And God plans. And God is the best of those that plan. So this kind of leads me into what I want to speak about today, because, I mean, for the last 2 or 3 years, we've been dealing with this in the court system for a long, long time, 2 or 3 years. Not only in the court system, but physically at our location. You have Mr. Gary Rudolph. I mean, their family suffers in some way, I believe, more than we do. Why? Because when we leave our center, we can go home. We can at least go home and go sleep in our beds away from where we worship. I mean, Mr. Rudolph and his family, who spoke very well at the council meeting, his wife, his daughter, they expressed that they can't go anywhere. It's 24/7 for them, because their property connects with the bar's property. So they're open from 11 a.m. in the morning to 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. in the morning. And after that, people are still there. And then they're bringing beer trucks in, and people are outside in his yard and different things like that. The music gets going on these big microphones and speakers that they have. So they never get any relief 24/7. So they express themselves very well in reference to their concerns also. So we hope that it will be a success for them, just like it would be for all of us once this is over with. We do believe that this is a test, and I wanted to read one verse out of our scripture, out of the Quran. That is really a beautiful statement. It's a beautiful statement, and I spoke about this Friday at our service. I spoke about it Friday at our service, and the reason I even talked about this subject of striving is because of some of the things that we are going through right now. You know, to keep ourselves motivated, to understand what the goal is, to understand that this is a test from God. And I have another young man, I call him a young man. I'm not going to call his name on the radio now, but he's also an inspiration in some way to me in reference to striving. You might look at him as the epitome of someone striving. Even though he may not have the clout and the resources and the money and all of these things, and he knows who I'm talking about if he's listening today. But one thing, he has the knowledge. He has the heart. He has the effort that says never give up. You see, it's like David going against Goliath. You know, even though Goliath was the giant, people looked at him as a giant. But David was still able to defeat him because of his faith, his knowledge, and what he had. And so this gentleman that I know is in this way. I mean, he's in the struggle too. He's also struggling against Goliath. And the small steps that one like that he does, it's nothing but accumulation of big steps to achieve his goal. And they say one of the most honorable things you can do is speak power to authority. People who has authority, but yet you have the courage, you have the faith to speak the truth to power. And this is what this gentleman is doing. And this is what we also have to do. I mean, people have done it all over this country. You know, the poor, the left out. People don't have means to hire lawyers and attorneys to be on their side. And people who knocked on your door to ask for your vote to get certain positions in the city or certain positions of authority. And once they get those positions of authority, they become unjust. They fall into that wheel of injustice, or they fall into that same wheel of not trying to make a change and represent the people in the community. But they fall in that system of representing people who have money. They are affluent people in the society, and their most concern is what is best for the city, what is best for the position that I am, and what is best to keep me in my position of authority rather than representing the people who are left out, who don't have a voice. But like they used to say in the 60s, the power is in the people. If the people continue to strive and never give up, to be patient and strive toward what is wrong, what is unjust, then justice, Almighty God, will prevail for the left out, the indigenous people. And we saw that from the 60s on up. You just cannot ever give up. Some people say, when I was in the military, people would say, you know, give out before you give up. Give out before you give up. So this is our motto. And we ask that Almighty God, and we understand this most of all, that whatever has happened is going to happen. It has already been decreed by God. We don't know what decree Almighty God has given us in this situation and beyond. This is a test for us that probably is going to make us better in the future, to be a better community than what we are now. Sometimes you have to go through these struggles because struggles strengthen you. Struggle is a purifier. So struggle strengthens you to be a better human being, to be a better person, to face the challenges on down the road for you. There may be a bigger challenge down the road for our community. And so this is just a test for us to muscle us up, to increase our faith, to understand what we're working with. And then God gives us the victory. And this has happened with every prophet that he's sent. He always tests them first before he make them the prophet. So this verse in the Quran that I think beautifully relates to what we're talking about today. And you have to remember, every human being strives towards something. Every human being has a challenge. Our challenges are not the same, but every human being that is born is going to have a challenge in this life. How you overcome that challenge and how you achieve it, I want to mention that, if I have time, a little later in the program, because we're given directions on how to achieve, what's the method to achieve your goal, what's the method to overcome the challenges that enters your life. And there's a small verse in the Quran that God says in the Quran, وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَأَى. That's an Arabic verse. And the meaning of it is that man can have nothing but what he strives for in this life. Small verse, but look at the meaning. Man can have nothing but what he strives for. That is a beautiful, very, very profound verse. This is a verse, I always say, this is a verse of equality. It's an equal opportunity verse. Because basically God is saying, whatever you strive for in this life, that's what you're going to get out of this life. So if you're a person that strives for goodness, you're going to get good. If you're a person that strives for evil, you're going to get evil. Like the old people say, used to say, if you plant corn, you're going to get corn. Right? If you plant tomatoes, you're going to get tomatoes. It's never going to change. So what God is saying, whatever you strive for in this life, that's exactly what you're going to receive. So the mentality has to be shaped. Your mindset have to shape and conform to this ideology here. That if you want good, if you want to be a doctor, you want to be an engineer, you want to be a good father, a good mother, if you strive toward that, that's exactly what you're going to become. You're going to become that because you're putting the effort in to become a good father, a good mother, a doctor, an engineer, a teacher, you name it, a nurse. That's what you are striving for in this life. But on the flip side, if all of your striving in life is to be corrupt, to be evil, to beat people out of things, to harm others, then that's exactly what you're going to receive. You're going to receive a life of corruption. It's like going to the bank and telling the clerk there you want to take out $500 out of your account. And you haven't put any money in your account. You don't have $500 in your account. And she's simply going to tell you, sir, you don't have that in your account. Why you don't have it? You didn't put anything in it. That's life. You get out of life what you put in it. You can't expect to get something out of life that you did not invest in. So this striving that I was speaking about earlier, this is exactly what our life is all about. Man will get nothing out of this life except what he strives for. So you have to strive in the form of worship because this is top priority. What motivate us and keep us motivated to keep striving and never give up. And through our striving, we stay moral. We stay within the boundaries of our faith. Because many people expect for us to go out of bounds, to fall into the perception they have about Muslims. Many people expect us to become violent in some way to try to achieve our goal, to break the law. This is what they anticipate. And I don't advocate for that. And I tell others around me, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that, no. Because the results of our striving is in God's hands. So we have to stay within the boundaries of what is right. And this is what Islam teaches us. Stay within the boundaries of what is right. And what is right is in the form of your worship. To strive in your worship. To strive purifying yourself. To strive with your family. All of this deals with striving. And the results of that is a good family. The results of that is being on the right side of Almighty God. You know, striving against injustice. And we see that so much in this life. This is basically what I've been talking about the whole morning, the whole year, the whole 2 or 3 years, really, if you want to be factual about it. It's the injustice that people continually have to strive for. And we, as a, you know, living in this country, this striving is never going to kind of evaporate on its own. It's never going to remove itself. Injustice has to be removed. You have to force it to move. Power is never given. Power is taken. The people who have their foot on your neck, they're never going to move their foot from your neck unless you make them move their foot from your neck. This is the way it is with people who want to monopolize your life. The ones who want you under their feet. So striving, you can strive in many areas. And that's what the Quran is saying right now. That our striving has to be just. And our striving is only accepted when our striving is done to please Almighty God. Now, this is a big difference. that our striving, your striving, is only accepted when it's done for the sake of Almighty God. Our success is only given to us when we realize that our success, it only comes from Almighty God. Your success is not coming from your striving. It's coming from Almighty God. You're providing the means for Almighty God to give you and to give us the success. So just like honor is never given to us through any other means other than through the means of Almighty God. And that's what the religion teach us. If we seek honor through anything else other than Almighty God, it will never be accepted. So this striving that I'm speaking of today, it is a striving that will continue until the day of judgment. I want to read this hadith now. And, you know, this right here should be, I believe, should be taught in school, all schools, because it's the recipe to how to go about trying to achieve your goal. And this hadith is from Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. A hadith is a narration from the Prophet, upon him be peace. A hadith is a saying that he have said that people have documented. There are thousands of them. Thousands of them. These are the two sources in Islam that we live by. Number one, the revelation of Almighty God, the Quran, that is coming from Almighty God. We believe that. It's not man-made. It's not from Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, but it's coming from Almighty God. The hadith, the sayings of the Prophet, are totally separate. It's totally separate. We don't mix the two. They're totally separate, but even though they are in the same flavor of each other. So this hadith basically saying, and let's listen how beautiful the Prophet is giving advice here, and how many young people today can benefit from this, those that are starting out in their life. Listen to what he said. He said, the strong believer is better and dearer to Almighty God than the weak believer. The strong believer is better and dearer to Almighty God than the weak believer. But there is good in both of them. How beautiful is that? The strong believer is better and dearer to God than the weak believer, but there is good in both of them. Why? Because both of them have the faith in Almighty God. They are believers. And we'll get into more of this that I will explain later. He said, adhere or strive in this life to what brings you benefit. Seek the help of Almighty God and do not feel helpless. Never give up. What he said. What he say? Strive to whatever brings you benefit in this life. And then seek help in Almighty God and never give up. And if something happens to you, something befalls you in life, do not say, had I done such and such, or I wish I would have done such and such. He said, don't say this, because he said, Almighty God has decreed whatever he wills. He does indeed. The one who says if, then you open the door to the devil and his acts. Now, I want to just go over this a little to break this down, unpack it, because it's a beautiful. This is something you would want to sit down and tell your daughter or your son who's getting ready to enter life. You know, go to school and go into college and different things like that. What the first thing we say that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he clarified that believers is good from all aspects. However, the believer who is strong in faith, who is strong in his resolve in life, he's strong in his property, he's strong in other aspects of strength, he is better in the sight of Almighty God than the weak believer. Because the one who is strong, who has resources, who has skill sets, he can benefit the community better than the weak one who doesn't have these things. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that he's better in the form of just who he is and where he's coming from. No, he's saying he's better if he has skill sets. He has a skill. He has resources. He has knowledge that people can benefit from. He has property that people can benefit from. He has resources in life. He is better than the believer who doesn't have these things. The one who doesn't have the energy, the motivation to do these things in life. You know, we have people like that. We have people that just want to do what they can. Do just the minimum to get by. They're happy with that. They just want to do the minimum, and that's it. They're not going to do anymore. They don't want to do anymore. And if you put pressure on them to do anymore, then they're going to be absent. You're not going to see them. But then you have other people that go beyond that. The one who gives their wealth. The one who uses their skills and their knowledge that they have studied from to benefit the community, to build schools and hospitals and programs and different things like this. Both of them are believers. And that's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there's good in both of them. And then the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he advised the believers to utilize the available means and what God Almighty have benefit you in this world. You see, he said, strive to what is going to benefit you in this world. This we're talking about striving this morning. Strive to what is going to benefit you in this world. So if you have a passion for a particular career, you have a passion for a particular thing in this life that you see that's going to benefit you as a young man or a young woman, then you strive toward that with all your effort. You strive to what? That's what the prophet said. And he said, do not give up. Don't stop striving toward what is going to benefit you. So when we use the means that we have, that Almighty God has given us in this world, in these worldly affairs, these things also are going to benefit us in the hereafter. So what did he say after striving toward what can benefit you in this world? He said, then rely upon Almighty God. You see, you have to act, and then you rely on God. It's not the other way around. And unfortunately, many people reverse this. Many people say, all praise be to God. I know he knows my situation. I know he hears and he sees everything. So he knows right now that I don't have a job. God knows that I need money to pay my bills. So I'm going to wait on his blessings. This would be incorrect. This would be incorrect. The correct way to approach this situation is to get up, go out and look for a job, and try to help yourself, and then say, I put my trust in God that he's going to enable me to get a job. You see? Just like the birds. Birds don't stay in their nest all day, because if they did, they would never be fed. Birds leave their nests in the morning. They go out and look for their food, and they come back with their stomachs full. They don't have like a reservoirs of food somewhere, packing, storing food somewhere. No, they have to leave their nest in the morning, every morning, if they want to eat. And they go out and find their food, and they come back. Beautiful lesson for the human being. So the person who acts first, he puts forth the effort, he go out and look for the job, or he go into school, he enrolls himself in school because he's striving for something that he believes is going to benefit him in life, and he's making all the effort, and then he relies on Almighty God. He asks, oh God, help me open this door for me? This is the right way. So relying upon Almighty God after you do the act is the correct way. Because Almighty God, He forbids laziness. No, He forbids laziness. People that are they are slacking in their responsibilities. They're not doing things in this life that is going to bring them benefit in this life to themselves or to their families. Now, this is haram, we say. This is forbidden. This doesn't benefit anyone. So if a person works hard and he utilizes or she utilizes the available means that Almighty God has given all of us, then God will help this person toward goodness. Remember the verse I read? That man only gets out of life what he strives for. This is beautiful, regardless of who you are, where you're from. This is a verse of equality. You only get out of this life what you strive for. I mean, this is what should be really told to many people who try to live off the backs of other people. When they are, you know, many of them have the idea that I don't need to really go out there and work every day. And I think most of you all know somebody like this. Don't want to work every day. Maybe they want to work sometime a year, sometimes during the year, and sometimes they don't want to work. They're not consistent in trying to provide for themselves. That's basically what I'm saying. They're inconsistent in trying to provide sustenance for themselves. I mean, in the way of working and providing transportation and food and shelter for themselves and their family. They kindly and have some type of disposition about people who do get up every morning and try to go out and provide for themselves. You only get what you strive for. But then on the flip side, it will be those same people who don't believe in that concept of being consistent in working and striving for what is good in this life to provide for their children and themselves. It is those people who will usually ring your phone, knock on your door, and ask you for help. Now, they're asking you for help because you believe that you should go out every day and work and make money and try to benefit yourself. You believe that. They don't believe it. But then they seek help through you, the one who has this type of concept of working. They seek help through you, even though they don't believe in this concept. You see? So this is another element you can add to this, that if the person who is trying to be consistent in his life and working, he's standing on principles and standards of trying to do something for his life. If this person continually gives in to the person who don't believe in working with principles and standards and consistency in jobs, then now the person who do get up and work every day, this person now becomes an enabler to the person who don't really believe in doing anything for himself. You are enabling this person to continue to be lazy. You are enabler to this person and his type of insane ideology about life, because you are enabling him through financially and other means, helping him to believe in the incorrect way that he believes. There's a lot of family members like that. Long as you are helping them, you are an enabler. Because the only reason they continue to not work and not strive for what they want in this life is because they know they have people in their families or people they know that is going to bail them out every time. That is the only reason they are able to continue to live the way they live, because they're pulling on that heartstring, on your emotions, because they have kids. And you don't want them kids to be without. And you don't. Those kids are the trump cards that they play. But when God says every person will get out of this life only what they strive for, This is a fact. And this is a beautiful verse that we should stand upon. So in this saying of the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, first thing he said is to strive in this life to what is going to bring you benefit. And then seek help in Almighty God and do not give up. And what we learned today is you got to make effort first and then seek help from Almighty God. We call it tawakkul. Have trust in God that God is going to be there for you. He's always there for you. He knows what you need. He understands what you need. But he's not just going to give it to you if you don't make no effort in life. He's not going to give it to you like that. And then the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, and let's say, for instance, something comes into your life that you're not able to achieve what you wanted. I wanted to get married and it just fell through. I wanted to go to college and I didn't make it. You know, if something like that happens into your life, that comes into your life that disrupts your plan, the prophet, upon him be peace, said, do not say, if I had done this or if I had done that. Now, why? There's a lot of wisdom into this. Because if you say, if I had done this or if I had done that, you're opening the door for the devil to exploit now your thinking. And you are going against the decree of Almighty God. Because Almighty God has already decreed, when you fill out that application to go to college, he's already decreed if you're going to be accepted or not. You're just making the effort to be accepted. You don't know. We have limited knowledge. But God has already decreed if you're going to be accepted or not. So when you do the application, you're not accepted, you say, Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Almighty God, and I accept his will. That's the best answer. Just like getting married or going on a trip or whatever and it falls through, you don't say if, because if you say if, you're going against the decree of God. And that's when the devil will enter your mind and say, you know what? If you had done what I told you to do, if you had did this and that, you couldn't have gotten that job. So now when you believe that concept, if you had done something that the devil now is telling you, if you had did this, if you had did that, you would have gotten that job. So basically, if you believe that, now you're saying you have more power than Almighty God. You're saying that the results of things is not in God's hands, but your hands. Because you're saying, if I had done that, it would have happened. So you're basically putting yourself in the position of God. So the best answer is, like the prophet said, just say you accept the decree of Almighty God. Whatever he has decreed, we accept it. Whatever he has decreed, we accept it. And when you submit like this, then you will find that these doors that you thought were closed, they will be open for you. Because all along, that was the test. You're going to have failures. You're going to have success in this life. Everything is not going to be the same. So making this effort that I'm speaking of now, it is the effort that keeps us within the boundaries of our faith. It is the effort that really motivates us and keeps us on the path of righteousness. Now, if you look at, I want to just show some of the benefits of this saying real quick. If you read this saying, and I just want to read it real shortly again. The strong believer is better and more dear to Almighty God than the weak believer. But yet there is good in both of them. And you should strive for whatever brings you benefit in this life. And then seek help from Almighty God. And do not feel helpless. And do not give up. Don't give up in striving for what you want. And if something befalls you, don't say, had I done this or had I done that, but rather say, God has decreed what has happened to me. Because if you say if, it opens the door to Shaitan, the devil. So what do we get from this? We get that people has to have faith in Almighty God. Just like what I began opening this program talking about, our problems and issues, you have to have faith in God. You have to understand that God is on the side of those who remember him. La yastawi ashabu nari wa ashabu jannah. Ashabu jannati humul faizun. The people of the fire are not like the people of paradise. Surely the people of paradise will be successful. They're totally different. So people have, you have to have this faith that God is in charge. And the people of faith can never give up, but have to stay and keep going forward. Number two, strength in deeds is recommended because the results and the benefits that cannot be attained through weakness. So the strength in deeds is recommended because the results of the deeds really are in the hands of Almighty God. And that we must strive in this life always to what is going to bring us some benefit. And we should keep ourselves away from anything that is going to bring us harm. Keep away from anything, any people that's going to bring you harm. This is advice. If people would just accept this, just this one thing right here, to keep company with people who you can benefit and they can benefit you in the way of righteousness, and keep yourself away from people who can only bring you harm. Now, if that has to be broke down and explained, I mean, that's just another level. Some people might say, well, who can bring you benefit? Well, the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, keep friends with those who remind you of God. Keep friends with those that are going to remind you of prayer. Keep friends with those that are going to remind you of the day of judgment. Keep friends with those who are going to remind you about the forgiveness of God and the mercy of God. Keep friends with those who have good morality in this life, who speak the truth. Keep friends with those who protect you from their tongue and their hands and the acts of life. This is your friend. This is what I'm talking about, that can benefit you. A person like this can benefit you in life. But you have to stay away from those that are going to cause you harm. Who can cause you harm? People who don't have your goodwill at heart. People who are always toxic. People who are gossiping and talking about everybody else. People who don't believe in morality. They don't have rules of justice. People who live on desires. If it feels good, it must be good. If it feels bad, it must be bad. See, a believer don't believe this way, because God says it may be that you like a thing that is not good for you. And it may be that you hate a thing that is good for you. So you have people that live basely off of their desires. If it looks good, it feels good, it tastes good, it must be good. This is an animalistic type of behavior. This is animal-like. These are people who can bring you harm. People who come up with all of these wonderful ideas on how to circumvent the law. People who come up with all of these beautiful ideas on how to make money, on how to do this and that. These are the people that can bring you harm. And these are the people that you have to be smart enough. Let me say that. Be smart enough and have wisdom to stay away from. And you know what? Many of them are your relatives. Many of them can be your own relatives. Some of them can even be your parents. And you just have to love them from a distance. So the believers is the one who is always seeking help from Almighty God in all of our affairs. And we're not dependent upon ourselves, but we are dependent upon Almighty God. The believers are the ones who believe in the divine decree and the predestination that Almighty God has placed upon this creation. That he has decreed some things that are going to happen and it's never going to change. This is what we call decree. And we have to stay away from the word if, because if can destroy you. Once you make the decision, stick to your decision. If you put your best effort in it, your intent was good, and you didn't come up on the side that you felt that you should, don't say if. Just say that it was not for me. One thing that we have to remember in this life, that anything that God has decreed for you, you're going to get it in this life. And anything that God has decreed that's going to miss you in this life, if it's money, a wife, a husband, a sickness, a illness, or something like that, God has decreed that this is not going to hit you in this life, it's not going to hit you in this life. That's a fact. So anything that God has decreed for you to have in this life, no one can take it away from you. No one. Because God has decreed it for you. But we have to be smart enough and understand that you only going to get out of this life what you strive for and nothing less and nothing more. And we ask that Almighty God, let us get out of this life the good. And the good out of this life is knowledge and good deeds. That's the good in this life, knowledge and good deeds. When we say, Rabbana Atina Fidunya Hasana, oh God, give us good in this life, this is what we're talking about, knowledge and good deeds. Rabbana Atina Fidunya Hasana Wa Fil Akhirati Hasana Wa Kina Darbana, and give us good in the hereafter. What's good in the hereafter? It's paradise. This is what we want. So to you today, anything I said that was incorrect is from me. And anything I said that benefited anyone is from Almighty God. And we hope to keep striving in all of our affairs. And we pray that Almighty God has decreed for us to be victorious over the disbelieving people. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You have been listening to the Understanding Islam Show. If you would like a free Quran, a copy of this broadcast, or any Islamic literature, please call 706-459-1010 or email us at understandingislam411@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam Show.